Today, Rinpoche gave a thorough explanation of the causes of the afflictions and their classifications.
Okay, so once again, we're looking at Lama Tsongkhapa's great treatise on the stage of the path to enlightenment, and specifically the section dealing with training the mind in the stage of the path shared in common with beings of medium capacity. So when we look at that, the outline of that section, we find that there are four categories. There are four categories. The first category is the mental training. The second category is the measure of the determination to be free. The third category is dispelling any misconceptions. And then the fourth category is ascertaining the nature of the path leading to liberation. So that first category, which is called the mental training, we find two categories. The first category is identifying the mind intent on liberation. And then a second category of the method for developing that mind intent on liberation. So the category of the method for developing the mind intent on liberation, we find there are two parts or two categories, reflection on suffering and its origin, and then the second category of reflection from the viewpoint of the 12 links of dependent origination. So looking at the first category, reflection on suffering and its origin, we'll find that there are two parts, reflection on the truth of suffering, the faults of cyclic existence, and then reflection of the process of cyclic existence in terms of origin. So when we get to that first category, reflection on the truth of suffering, the faults of cyclic existence, we find it explained in two parts there as well. First, we have the category showing the significance of the Buddha asserting the truth of suffering as the first of the Four Noble Truths, and then the second category of the method or the actual meditation on suffering. The second category, which is called the actual meditation on suffering, we find two categories, and then that first category, reflection on the universal suffering of cyclic existence, which goes over the eight types of suffering, the six types of suffering, the three types of suffering, and then we have an identification of specific types of suffering. And then, after that, we begin with section that deals with origin, reflection on the actual origin of suffering. So if everyone wants to turn to page 296, 78 area, we find the section on the origin of suffering. So it's called Reflection on the Process of Cyclic Existence in Terms of Origin.
This way.
Dixon.
Oya ta nyeba kunyu kunyu re samba te ne bayimba nyeba kunyu kunyu re samba de la sonre do nyomo ba chi su le su su ane chibo wa chwa le bichu wa te sonre do la
sa
du kunyu kunyu ta kante do ne den do ne phabe de ba on de kunyu phabe de ba os do kulo ton bi ko son den do ne phabe de ba on de kunyu phabe de ba os wo te nyeba te ge
The Denba Ji Kanga Koronetsu, Denba when the first turning of the wheel of Dharma, the Buddha stated that this is the superior truth of suffering, this is the superior truth of origin, this is the superior truth of cessation, and this is the superior truth of path. When we look at the first two of the Four Noble Truths, the truth of suffering and the truth of origin, the truth of suffering shows us the nature of cyclic existence, so what the nature of cyclic existence is. And then the second noble truth, which is the truth of origin, shows us how cyclic existence is caused. So how that cyclic existence, whose nature is understood by the first truth, is caused. So there is a cause and effect relationship between the first and the second noble truth, and this is from the first turning of the wheel of Dharma, and is found in the sutra teachings of Lord Buddha. So when we get to the section on reflection on the process of cyclic existence in terms of its origin, there are three categories there: how the afflictions arise, how you thereby accumulate karma, and then how you die and are reborn. So that section is explained in three parts. Diksum. So in this section of reflection on suffering, on the process of cyclic existence in terms of its origin, again we find three categories: how the afflictions arise, how you thereby accumulate karma, and how you die and are reborn. So here it shows the nature of the afflictions and how they arise, and how then by the arisal of the afflictions you have accumulate karma, and then because of this accumulation you die and are reborn. So this is the first section, a summary of the first section by looking at the outline. So, looking at the first category that we find under the major heading, reflection on the process of cyclic existence in terms of its origin, we find how the afflictions arise. And we look at Jayan Sheba's outline. He states that there are three categories found within this. The first category is showing that
the afflictions are really the primary cause of the arisal of cyclic existence. They serve as a cooperative condition that is necessary, it must be there in order for the karma to be accumulated and thereby having the experience of cyclic existence. So the first category shows just that, and we find the presentation that shows, the meaning of this is that if the afflictions are not present within a continuum, even if there is propelling karma to give rise to a rebirth in cyclic existence, that experience can't happen. So we find the example of the foe destroyer, the arhat, who has from beginningless time created karma and has a large amount of propelling karma that would give rise to an experience or a birth in cyclic existence. But because the arhat, the foe destroyer, has abandoned the afflictions, the cooperating condition isn't present for the arisal of such an experience of cyclic existence. This is the point. What is the reason that the arhat is not reborn in cyclic existence? Because they have abandoned the afflictions. Therefore, they cannot be reborn there. And then we find a supporting quote from Dharmakirti's commentary on the compendium of valid cognition that says, "The karma of one who has transcended craving for existence lacks the potency to project another birth because its cooperating conditions are gone." So this covers the points made within the first category. And then Jayan Shaiva states the second category is the need for an antidote, the need to abandon these things, these afflictions. And then the third category is becoming knowledgeable about the afflictions, having an understanding, a complete understanding of the afflictions. Okay, Diksun.
Tandala jese, what the Lorin Sajin, what? Nyomong was on a lesso bitu, and a chibo joalem to an tambula jet and do a tambula jet, and Nyomong was on a jejagdua. De la je, Nyomong was on a ton, Chetachi in Batan, Nyomong be Jutan, Nyomong be Nemis or so what the Larik Sajin, you were trained to a jaji, but the Nyomong was on Katutle, Sajin to be taken to a quantum be due to Nyomore. Then you must see,
So Jayan Shaiva states that the first category, again, is the fact that the afflictions are the primary cause or the principal cause of cyclic existence, that they serve as a necessary cooperating condition for its arisal. The second category is because of that, it's necessary to abandon them. There's a need for an antidote. And then the third category, we find the Lam Rim Chemo presents four categories within it. The first, identifying the afflictions. The second, the order in which they arise. Third, the causes of the afflictions. And then fourth, the faults of the affliction. So that third category of being knowledgeable about the afflictions, a complete understanding of the afflictions. And then category number one, identifying the afflictions, we find two categories. First, the general definition of an affliction, and then the specific definitions of the individual afflictions. So the general definition of afflictions comes from Asanga's Compendium of Knowledge, and it states, an affliction is defined as a phenomenon that when it arises is disturbing in character, and that it arising disturbs the mind stream. So it's a disturber of the mind stream. So this is a mental factor, and this is the general definition of it. The second category shows the specific definitions, and within the specific definitions, we find the first five to be viewless afflictions, and then the second five to be afflictions that are view. The first five afflictions that are viewless are attachment, hostility, pride, ignorance, and doubt. And then the five afflictions that are view are the reifying view of the perishing aggregates, an extremist view of belief in the supremacy of wrong views, a belief in the supremacy of ethics and religious discipline, and then wrong view. So those five are the afflictions that are view, and they are view because in dependence upon this point of view, the afflictions arise. So they are a view that then brings about the viewless afflictions, brings other afflictions to the surface. So that's it. Deeksa.
What the Yomuchu Tsenyi Kajasa Yimatanyiba Jatajimbasa?
So we've gone through then all the definitions of the individual afflictions. So now we get to this next category, which is the order in which the afflictions arise.
Pana Taba Dubala Maba Junzi Bode Tabi Nelu Masiwana Tela Drudunzi Luchewataras Taba Junzi Luchewatara and a Pumbi Nelu Sewala Pumbi Nelu Sewala Dibi and a Maribe Maba Le and a Pumbu Dato Trubachela Maribi Mabo Teletene, Pumudadu de B, Truba Lucet Jagres, Truba Jella, Tele, Yomogena Jews, Te Jusibalden, Yomogena Jomores, Mariba Danjita, Kahandu Henji, Mosena Teres, Tatani Jita, the Mariba and Chit Dubatan Tabahina, Tini Chit and Dubatana, Jita Ni Maribaris, Jita Kurun, Jita Sena. Raju jingala mine ane ngato ngayowa ane takkarzo tuta shira ma tu suge wate raja tu bi zhe tu zhuan zhe mizhe bali jagu e zhen jita rapa ane oma raju ba ta sanzang ba tu so dabu dabu injire ta oma tanju wa gu wate ngato ngayowa la mine rangon tu zhuan zhe bi shira nyomu zhe jita yins Oma because all my children so that was the injured. Oma Tanju was in our day. Not on Nayo can rule a mine, Ramon Rubens and Michelle and Mujet or Jida Tenis. Jida in the new orders, Nanzi Naranzi Vigita, Nayo and the Vigita Ni. Nanzi Vigita, not a mine, Ramon Rubens and Michelle and Mujet. Nanzi Vichitaje Nayo and the Vichitasana and the Laba Nayimba, Kamba Nayimba, Motra Nayimba, and the what the Chalaka Nayin says you wrote, Laba Nayimbicha, rāngāna rūpa dhīmī dhīmā dhī jītā rīs, dhī jītā yīn, sī jītā yīn yāgā rītā.
Lāsā. Tēnē dhī shērā māwā, dhī yāngjir sīrlān kūnsī dhāwā rāpa gārī.
Tā kūtsū kū wā tī rāngāna rūpa dhīmī dhīmā dhī wā tī jītā yīn sī gārī sī wārī lāgā mā rō. Rāngāna rūpa dhīmī dhīmā dhī shērā māwā gī lū tūyā tūyī lāgā rō tā. Lāsā. Tātana āma tāngyū rāngāna dhruva mēnsu
kōtā.
Rāngāna dhruva dhruva jītā rē lū lū shē rē, ngāyōn dhruva jītā lū lū shē rē sīkwa rō. Shidā māngā tūsū kua tā rāngāna dhruva 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 jītā yīnsi lā guwa mā rā tā.
Then ngā dhruva 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 shidā māngā?
Shidā māngā kītā pōmpu ngōsūngā lā. Jita sikanta pumbu ngāsuwa
ala,
kāza pumbu ngāmu kārūla ten tāpi chibu kāza ka sañi marba.
Lāsa, okay.
Kāza pumbu ngāmu kārūla ten tāpi chibu rēdiyo.
Lāsa.
Pumbu ngāmu kārūla ten tāni trūdiyo rō. Anuku pumbu ngāsuwa ala mātio bi dā sikanchi yuwa rēs. Wātin zibi ziba tila rāncha tubi ziyo dhruma zibi ziba. Ta kī lēngi di shiriba rō ta, shiriba. Shidā māwa nōn tākē lēngi jī yuwa rēs, kājī tēnī shēnī tā mātā lāsū jūmē kāsā zēyō ndūs. Nēmā pōpī tēpā lāsū pā tūsā kīngi kāsā rāngā tūpī zēyō dhūpa yuwa sī tūgur tā. Kāsā rāngā tūpī zēyō dhūpa nī mātā lū tūn tūn yīs. Kājī tēnī shēnī tā mātā lāsū jūmē kāsā zēyō ndūs wā tē shidā māwa lōgu rē, shidā māwa. Shidā māwa lōgu tē kāsā rāngā tūpī zēyō dhūpa nī mātā lū tūn tūn yī kī lēngi yuwa rēs. Uma jūpa lēngi.
The Kansa Uma Jupa Yurube.
Uma Jupa Mata Sanji Jupa Tatawa Yurube. Kaji Tini Jeni Tamata. Kansa Tamata Kanta Jutu Mibi Raja Tubi Jesu Jupa Yins. What the Shiru Shiruba Yusu Wore. And Shirama on the Logan Kashi Yores.
Lasso.
What this Wore Ta.
So the order in which the afflictions arise. Okay, so we begin, there's two points that are made here. One point is to show if there is, you're positing a distinction between ignorance and the view of the perishing aggregates. And then the next points that are made to show what it would mean if ignorance and the view of the perishing aggregates were one and the same. Or identical. So when we look at this view of the perishing aggregates, this is a view that believes that by identifying one's the appropriated aggregates, or by observing the appropriated aggregates, and then regarding those aggregates as I. Or mine, so either as an I that can be established and then grasped at as being truly established, or mine, the things that are mine, that one's hand or house being established, then establishing one as truly existent. So feeling there's some single unitary person there because of the observation of the aggregates. And so forth. So when we look at the reifying view of the perishing aggregates, there's two categories there. The reifying view of the perishing aggregates that grasps at the I, and the reifying view of the perishing aggregates that grasps at what's mine. So the grasping at the I is grasping that there is some single unitary I that is truly established, and based on the observation of the aggregates and so forth. So the establishment of an I that one grasps at. The grasping at mine is grasping at the things like one's my hand or my house as being truly established. Seeing some sort of possession, and then this possession being truly established, that there is an actual mine there. There are two types. Then Rinpoche, ngai lapa, ngai kamba. The kamba, the Denpa Drupa Dzimba, lapa Denpa Drupa Dzimba, the chitta, the lapa, the...
Ngai lapa Denpa Drupa Dzimba, chuji danzi yi lagu re. Kansa danzi yi lagu ma re. Ngai kamba Denpa Drupa Dzimba, chuji danzi res. And then ngai mota tangwa tusunga Denpa Drupa Dzimba, chuji danzi res.
Lasa.
Mota ngai yimbas. Mota nga yinbe chad nabar tuban zimba zimba tkhanza ka dhan zin yinsa.
Mota nga.
Mota nga yinba. Mota nga yinba lagro ta.
Mota nga.
Mota nga yinba. This car is my.
Is I.
This car is my.
De mota nga yinba.
Mota nga yinsa ro ta. Nga yinba ta nabar tuban zimba zimba jita resa.
So Rinpoche is showing this distinction because if you're just grasping at a car as being truly established, then this is grasping at phenomena as being truly established. So there's a distinction here. The distinction is it becomes grasping at a person as being truly established if you're saying that the car is me. So Rinpoche is saying, like, somehow by this mind, there is I. So if you're saying that the car, everyone heard Rinpoche, the car is I. So it only becomes this reifying view of the perishing aggregates in the category, the second category, which is the mine category, if that mine is I. So if this car is mine, if that is the I that is there. So Rinpoche is saying, the car is I, my hand is I. So if we are grasping in that way, then if we're seeing these things that we possess as us, then this is a reifying view of the perishing aggregates that's mine. And if we're establishing just this grasping at this I as being solitary, then this is the reifying view of the perishing aggregates that is grasping at the I. So this is this distinction that's made. So when we look at the definition of a person, it's a being that's imputed on any among the five aggregates. So this is the definition of person. This is why just the hand itself, or just the car itself, doesn't categorically fall under this grasping, because there requires a person to be there. And then again, the person is described as something, someone is appropriate in any among the five aggregates. There's a difference in understanding of the views, and I tried to look this up already in a tenet system text, and I haven't gotten clear on some of this vocabulary. So there's a difference in the view of what the reifying view of the perishing aggregates is between the Great Exposition School and the Satrantika Mind Only and the Middle Way Autonomy School and the Middle Way Consequence School. The Middle Way Consequence School states that there is no truly established I, there is no truly established mind, but the coarser views that we find in the lower schools do establish some essence that establishes them, those things as existence, as external things as existence, that the Middle Way Consequence School doesn't posit as being there. So we find some assertion of true establishment, which is a correct view within those lower schools, that we don't find in the Middle Way Consequence School. We find in a complete negation of any kind of true establishment, whereas in the lower schools there are coarse beliefs of true establishment that are present. So there's a small point of that's more subtle than that I'm missing, but that is the meaning of it. And Rinpoche said in the commentary on the Root Wisdom text, Chandrakirti's entrance to the Middle Way, we find a stanza, and I'll try to look for it, that it's large text, but I'll try to look for it, a stanza that is meant to show and negate the view that's held by mostly the non-Buddhist schools, but also some of the assertions that the lower schools make about what that view of the perishing aggregates actually is. So Lama Tsongkhapa negates those coarser views as being that, Chandrakirti negates those coarser views that are presented in the lower schools and asserted to be the view of the perishing aggregates. So there's a quote that shows and negates those coarser views.
Dig some Rinpoche.
So this reifying view what is the first link, the 12 links of dependent origination, this grasping, this ignorance that's found at the first link. This ignorance is this reifying view of the perishing aggregates.
What does on do that? Shiram on do the bar, Sazamba, Omaranjuba to get Kobumbala, and there were the and the Gaza Ranja to be did, Juba Ponson and the Kobombarimatu, and then Zit Sazambi treated as it is Pongu Maris. Kujiza Tatu Maluba, Koala Drua Mangilos, Legitimable. Kujiza Tatu. Kujiza Tatuba Maluba, quality of Mangilos. That's handsome, good what is handsome Batuge, ne Dajon Batuge, Kuito Bungure, Kujiza Tatuba Bungumares. Sansom Batina Kujiza Tatuba, Sansom be Chujidazil, Shirutan Drumans, but Omar Najuba Jena Debatrumans with Danzitro, or to Bungumares. Kuito what the Kazaka dancing there is. Tatos and not an air, could at the end of Tuma Chulmas and Tuma Tumaims on Jim Marbe, Jesus Tatus. Quiz out the Kazaka Danzi de Matu, Sazam Chuji Danzi de Maris, Sazam Chuji Danzi de Kazaka Danzi Tauri, the orders. Jesus.
So we don't find that, so in the lower schools, in the Great Exposition School in Satrantika and the mind-only school, we don't find this necessity of abandoning the grasping at phenomena as being truly established in order to end cyclic existence. There is an assertion in the mind-only school that the arhat, the foe-destroyer, does not have to have abandoned and has not necessarily abandoned this external grasping, has only abandoned the grasping at themselves as being an inherently existent, a truly established entity. They have not needed to abandon that external grasping, because it's what the root of cyclic existence in their belief is, the grasping at the person as being truly established, not grasping at phenomena as being truly established. So they negate the necessity in these lower schools, and specifically in the mind-only school, of getting rid of this external grasping, because they state that it is just this grasping at these appropriated aggregates as being the I that has to be gotten rid of in order for samsara to be gotten rid of. And then Rinpoche quoted the Lama Tsongkhapa's Essence of Eloquence. I don't know a few of the vocabulary words, so I told him I won't be able to quote it directly. But the point that's made there is to show the view that's held by the mind only, that states that this only this grasping at this person as being truly established has to be negated. Whereas the Middle Way Consequence School says that that which is I and that which is mine, and even mine that is a phenomena, that would categorically fall under grasping at phenomena as being truly established, binds one to cyclic existence. So this is the point that's made, and I think that I covered everything.
Takutu nagatela diza takante, sanzamba jeje jina,
So according to the mind only school, they state that look at the lesser Hinayana foe destroyer. They have gotten rid of the afflictive obstructions. But they haven't abandoned the grasping at phenomena as being truly established. And the mind-only school states that those are obstructions to omniscience. Those are not obstructions to being free from cyclic existence. So there's a differing view there because that Hinayana foe destroyer hasn't abandoned that view. But is still a foe destroyer. So that's the point that's being made here that the mind only makes.
So the middle way autonomy school holds that view as well, that states that the Hinayana foe destroyer has gotten rid of the afflictive obstructions, therefore has ended his or her cyclic existence, is a foe destroyer. And they state that this grasping at true establishment, meaning the phenomena and so forth, isn't required to be abandoned in order for one to abandon cyclic existence. So the middle way autonomy school feels that similar view to the mind-only school, that it's just this grasp, the grasping at the person as being truly established, that's the root of cyclic existence, not the grasping at true establishment. When you just say this true establishment, it's referring to everything. And if you put a name to it, then it's referring to just that specifically. There's a differing view than the highest view of the consequence school, because there's this belief that one can abandon cyclic existence without abandoning grasping at true establishment. The middle way consequence school states that all grasping at true establishment is afflictive obstructions, and that there are no foe destroyer, Hinayana foe destroyers, that haven't abandoned that grasping at true establishment. So if there has been a foe destroyer state, then they have abandoned both those things. They've abandoned all grasping at true establishment. So it states that it's necessary and that all of those graspings are afflictive obstructions. They are not obstructions to omniscience. So he's saying that isn't possible for that to be a person to be a foe destroyer if there are these graspings still present. So the highest view negates the possibility of foe destroyer without having abandoned grasping at true establishment. So the middle way consequence school that grasping at true establishment is the root of cyclic existence. is an afflictive obstruction. So this is different. The lower schools feel that it's obstruction to omniscience, categorically different, and not an afflictive obstruction, and that a foe destroyer is possible without having abandoned this grasping at true establishment. Middle way consequence school negates that and states that the afflictive, these graspings are necessarily afflictive obstructions, are the root of cyclic existence, and have to be abandoned in order for foe destroyer to be achieved. Dixon.
So we just need to read this. One way to the Kanga Inji Ke Logu. One way to look at this is to consider ignorance as distinct from the view of the perishing aggregates. For example, when twilight falls on a coiled rope, its status as a rope will become unclear, and someone may imagine that it is a snake. Similarly, according to this view, the misapprehension of the aggregates as a self arises due to the darkness of ignorance, which prevents clarity about how the aggregates exist. The other afflictions then develop from this misapprehension. On the other hand, if you hold that ignorance is the view of the perishing and the view of the perishing aggregates are identical, then the view of the perishing aggregates is itself the root of the afflictions, meaning in dependence upon this view of the perishing aggregates, which is ignorance, all of the other afflictions, attachment, hatred, and so on, arise. When the view of the perishing aggregates apprehends a self, discrimination arises between self and other. Once you have made the distinction, you become attached to what is associated with yourself and hostile towards that which pertains to others. As you observe the self, your mind also becomes inflated. You develop a belief that this very self is either eternal or subject to annihilation. You come to believe in the supremacy of a view of the self and the like, and you also come to believe in the supremacy of the detrimental practices associated with such views. Similarly, you develop the wrong view that denies the existence of things such as the teacher who taught selflessness and that which he taught, karma and its effects, the four truths, the three jewels, and so forth. Or else you become doubtful as to whether such things exist or are real. So then the last thing is the quote from Dharmakirti's commentary on Bala Cognition. Once there is a self, there is an idea of other. On behalf of self and other, there is attachment and hostility. All the faults come about in association with these. So now we get into the third category, which is the causes of the afflictions. And this is very clear. We find six categories presented here by Lama Tsongkhapa as presented in the Bodhisattva levels. We find the first, the basis, second, object, third, social context, the fourth, explanation, fifth, habituation, and sixth, attention. So we find this sixfold presentation of the causes of the afflictions from those that text.
Nyomo bi ane nyomo bi jun trule ten ne nyomo bi bala nye toos du 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 ma tu ma duwa wo de ju tambu de wo de nyom ne nyomo bi bala nye teres nyomo bacha to wo de
Then the Uma Tenjorwa, the Jutambo Shosena, then the Nga Chuchen.
No,
the Den.
Jutambo Shosena, Pacha Chuchen, Pacha, Pala, Pala,
Pala, Pala,
Pala,
okay.
Pacha is again the Shiba Tanga Gua Shiba Gojula, Gala, and what should be the Jab in the Bowls. Pacha is. Pachak Chenny Chosena Gua Shebe Gojil and Galang to shoot his jab in the bows. Gua Shebasana and then one shed and Shiny Maduqua Maro, one shed and Shiny, Nagi, Gi Shebatan, Magi Shebatan, Lomantic Sheba. What so Galang to shoot his say and a jab in the Bachelor Bachelor's Jab Bachelor.
Okay, ability to. Okay,
Gua Shebe Gojila. Gala want to be the job in the boss. Gentlemen, you're
okay, decent. Then the Pacha, the Tseni, the Megay, Megay, Nangla, Yerbe, Gay, Megay,
Gwale, Gwale, Pacha, you are, Magol, Pacha, you are, Lomate, Pacha, you are, Onshi, Pacha, you are, Ishi, Pacha, you are. The Pacha, Gandhi, Gua, Shebe, Gojila, Gala want to be the job in the boss. Gua Shiba Gujis, Gujis and the Sansam Kaja Kunji Jahas. Raju be changed in Nashi Jahas. Tanju Oga, what they did Nikilang Marwata. Pitching God knows Ganjan Gondo. What is the Galang want to be so Nebaji Kunji in the Libby, Nebatel Pacha Lagres. Gua Shiba Gujis changing in Nashi in the Libby. Gee, Shebangalang won't shoot his eh? Gee, nobody, Sanji Nashi in the Levy, nobody, Gee Pacha Logres. Magoo and Gabi, Galang won't shoot his eh? Nashi in nobody, Magee Pacha Logres. Lomatin Shebangabi say, Nashi in nobody, Lomatin Pacha Logres. Onshi and Galang won't shoot his eh? Gushi in nobody, Onshi Pacha Logres. Ishin Galang won't shoot his eh?
So the first category is basis, and there's very little information given here. It says basis refers to the latent proclivity for the afflictions. So this is referring to the actual imprint itself. So the imprint itself is the basis. And the different schools have different ideas about where these imprints are and where they are stored. So when we look at the mind-only school, they assert that there's this separate consciousness that's called like a storehouse consciousness. It's translated as other things, but we'll still call it storehouse consciousness. And that is where the actual imprints abide. And then when we, the middle way autonomy school, states that when we look at consciousness and we look at mental and physical consciousness, they state that it's necessarily the mental consciousness is where these imprints abide. So imprints are created from virtuous, non-virtuous, and neutral, or that which hasn't been presented in scripture, scriptural actions. Let me go back. Imprints are, according to the Middle Way Autonomy School, are only established in the mental consciousness itself. So it's not saying that there's a separate storehouse consciousness. It says they abide in the mental consciousness. So those physical and mental and physical actions that we do, which are virtuous, non-virtuous, or not presented in scripture, leave an imprint which has an ability within our mental consciousness. And then the Middle Way Consequence School states that we can't really establish this like location for these imprints. We can only state that they abide in the eye. So the eye is where the imprints are. And again, as a note, not a truly established one, just the eye that goes from life to life. This is where those imprints are. And when we look at the definition of an imprint, it is that which comes about from physical and mental actions and leaves as a residue an ability to produce a likewise result. So we would say if it's a virtuous action, an imprint is, in that case, would be defined as a virtuous action that has been engaged in that then leaves, after it's been done, an ability. And that ability that's left is the imprint. And in the case of virtue, the ability to give rise to happiness, non-virtue, suffering. So it's left, the imprint is just that ability, that remainder of those actions, of our mental and physical actions. So it's the remainder. What's left over from it is this ability. And that ability is the imprint. So that's the... The Kanga Lhasa.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to take a break and we can give out some stuff.
Oh, yeah. Megi bacha te luma tenis bacha ina luma ten chaus
lasa
goya mai mago mai be kanu gama ka kanu tu maru bichu luma ten se ni maru ba bacha kanu luma ten lo bacha ina luma ten chaus juji kuzu kanya ya jabe bacha luma tenis
de lon kaba ne
juji kuzu jermisi.
Okay, so Lama Tsongkhapa states that when we look at the words virtuous imprint and virtue, or non-virtuous imprint, or that which hasn't been presented in scriptural imprint, and we look at what category they fall into, a virtuous imprint isn't virtue. A non-virtuous imprint isn't non-virtue. That which hasn't presented in scripture imprint is not a neutral, or that which hasn't been presented in scripture. I just made a mistaken comment. All of them are that which has not been presented in scripture. So if we look at what category virtuous imprint, non-virtuous imprint, and neutral imprint falls into, they fall in that neutral category, that which hasn't been presented in scripture. So virtuous imprint isn't virtue. Non-virtuous imprint isn't non-virtue. So it is always that which hasn't been presented in scripture or neutral.
Dig seeds saltabaina, Nasid Mobu Chanuma, Nugo,
right,
Mobu Chanuro.
Lesser.
Do you see in day to your maro? Nugo Mobu de Loya, Chan Deja, Nubajin, Nuba.
So when we look at an example which will help us to understand what an imprint's like, when we put a seed into the ground, at that time, it just has a potential. And then that seed produces a fruit. That seed produces a sprout. And that sprout has the potential to produce rice. There's not rice there yet. If there's a rice seed that's been planted, there's not rice there. There's just that potential for the rice to be produced on the top of the plant later. It's not there yet. So that potential that's abiding there is how we explain what an imprint is. That potential is abiding there for the experience that's concordant. So these imprints of the afflictions are the Nyomo and Pakcha, they say the Yure, the Sa, Sa.
Okay, so
when we have this arisal of the afflictions, these are from the previous afflictions, the previous imprints from our previous lives and so forth that are present. So when this arisal takes place of hatred or anger, it's from the imprints of this these previous imprints that have the ability for this arisal, and we've created these in our previous lives. So we find some people that have a lot more problem with attachment, and some have a lot more problem with pride, some have a lot more problem with anger, and that's because there are a greater imprints of those sorts of emotions or afflictions. So that particular being who has a greater amount of attachment has a greater propensity, and from the perspective of the imprints for that type of emotion.
So
when we look at the actual imprints of the afflictions, those imprints of the afflictions aren't virtue, they aren't non-virtue, they are merely that which hasn't been presented in Scripture.
What the Bacha de Sujagre?
So when we look at the imprints and we look at the afflictions, there is a lot to know about. What is the producer of the imprints? Who is the producer of the imprints? The producer of the imprints are the physical and mental actions. Where do these imprints stay? It depends on which school. Some state that they stay in the mental consciousness. Some state that the mind-only school states that there's a storehouse consciousness. What is the definition of an imprint? What is the meaning of it? So when we look at these topics, there's so much to know about each and every one of them.
What did the
And you find also sometimes people have more put in more effort than others, and some people have a lot more wisdom than others, and that's because of these positive potentials, these positive imprints being greater in their case of those concordant results.
What is the dot of the regime creature, Mariba?
Get the guys.
Then, you know, you're on 10 Tom Marbella.
That's it.
10 Pasha Lukujagan do Pasha.
So, when we look at these six causes of the afflictions, that's what basis is referring to, the imprints themselves.
Tanyeba, you know, Mipare, and you know, Mipa.
So, the next is the object of observation.
You know, Mipa, you know, Mipa, Sana, Tanga Suzuni, Michi, Mipa, Josuter Marbella. Nai shibi meba de jarwa, nai shibi meba de tre, ane lu shibi meba de zija, nji shibi meba de ro, ane yi shibi meba chu su marbe, meba su wat nji la wu meba.
Yi chi meba gare chu?
Chu su gare da chu.
Chu.
Ane.
Phenomena. Okay. Chu. Phenomena. Dix.
Yeah.
So the next is object of observation. So this word object of observation, it's just object here, but this word object of observation, when we look at the different consciousnesses, so what is the object of observation of the eye consciousness? It's a form. What is the object of observation of an ear consciousness? It's a sound. The object of observation of a nose consciousness is a smell. The object of observation of a tongue consciousness is a taste. The object of observation of a body consciousness is a tactile sensation, and then the object of observation for the mental consciousness is a phenomena. So this is what this word object of observation is referring to. So object refers to the appearance of objects conducive to the arising of an affliction. So attachment, for instance, we see an attractive object, then attachment arises. We find from Nagarjuna's root wisdom text, if there is the desirous, then attachment. If there is not the desirous, then attachment can't arise. If there is not the non-desirous, or that which is not desired, then aversion can't be arisen, or hatred can't arise. So it'd be similar when we look at other negativities, such as pride or other things like that. So the things that would make pride arise, the object of observation that one would make one's pride arise. So that's it. So attractive objects make the attachment arise. Things that are not attractive make hatred or aversion arise. So this is the object of observation. So this word conducive is important. So the object of observation, this word conducive means that the attractive object is conducive for the arisal of the affliction attachment. That which is unattractive is conducive for the arisal of aversion. That the object has to be conducive for its arisal in order for it to be a cause of an affliction. That's number two.
tanga su zuni me shi su la me gre do cha gi du wan la me gre ku yu di she bala me bas lo gu dua yu di she bala ti me bas yu di she bala me bas ya ka shi sa le ne chu ta ju ngo su tu bi thon la nya ja yi shi chu ta ju ngo su tu bi thon la nya ja yi shi ge chu ta ji la me so so yo re chu ta ji la me gre
thon la thon la
thon la
okay
do ni ngo su tu bi thon la
Okay.
Less. Tito means Nezula mean as the mamma drew a shiver is. Dollar mean a dead mamma drew a shiver, da you shiver matters. What the Nessa would do, what the Nessa.
Oh, I see. Okay. So when we look at this word object of observation, so in the object of observation at the point of the path of seeing, for instance, is all phenomena. But when we look at what it looks at in relation to all phenomena, it's specifically the lack of true establishment of all phenomena. So it isn't recognizing the sound or a smell or a taste. It's recognizing at that point of the path of seeing, at the uninterrupted path, during that uninterrupted path on the path of seeing, before the path of release, there is this cognition of the lack of true establishment of all phenomena. So it's not cognizing all phenomena specifically. It's cognizing merely that lack of true establishment of all that phenomena. So that the path of seeing during this uninterrupted path, this Barchimulan, this is what's happening. There is this cognition of the lack of true establishment. That's what that seeing emptiness is. It's seeing all phenomenon's emptiness, all phenomenon's lack of true establishment. So that's the object of observation when one is seeing emptiness at the path of seeing.
What the new me about the new mocha what the Jesus to be in home was new mocha what the Jesus to be. Jesus tumbi yut kngalo de nyomo me bares marwa
de chu nu de jeni long ya jo sur la nge de jason
mo du je de me ba chu no ta ji de sa me ba chu no ta ji de de on kla su wa e na ka ji us na ge mo lu ma de sun yus
ge
goa ma go lu ma de je du se ngalo ge mo lu ma de sun du no
da So in the Abhisama Alamkara, it says the object of observation is all phenomena. So that I just forgot to translate that. So in the Abhisama Alamkara, it says the object of observation is all phenomena. What all phenomena, all established bases, fall into three categories: virtue, non-virtue, and neutral, or that which has not been presented in scripture. So these are the this is the object of observation according to that Gongyo Mepachi.
Yeah, yeah. What the members talk on the new mojo was just between be written in the new mobile of this.
So the object is that which makes it conducive for an arisal of an affliction, that thing that causes that arisal.
Sumba dan donze said the rundo, Sumba donze. Sumba donze. Sumba donze in the resita. Sumba donze in there. Chibo tamba maimba. True navy just loba was. Those again, Chibo tamba maimbi. True, but young do look at that. You much a kisha momshiva ina. What then does the secondary is?
Less so.
Chibitama Mayimbe, Chimitama Mayimbe, true nabi, Jesu Loba was. What the true nabas of the Takante, you much a kisha nomador change against the true nabalagumberta.
So number three says social context refers to the influence of bad friends and foolish people. So here these are bad friends who you start talking and about afflictions and this is causing more affinity for them and so forth. So negative influences, people who have a bad influence on you is what this is referring to, influencing you, speaking bad, speaking about bad things, speaking about the afflictions. So that's number three. A third cause for the arisal of an affliction.
So number four, explanation refers to listening to wrong teachings. This is the fourth cause for the arisal of an affliction. Bad teachings, wrong teachings, incorrect teachings.
What the Shiva said to Chuluba Nebatla, what the Shiva, what the Latin in your Mujagres? Takumba Maribukumba. Nante Meba Dunzi Shiba Kumba. What the Nabat Marbe. Kumba the Nabat the Roa. Ne Kumba ne. No, 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 no,
no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no,
Number five is habituation. So it says refers to the process of being accustomed to past afflictions. So in previous lives, we have accumulated these afflictions. So we have this familiarity. So this habituation, I'm trying to find it really fast, but it's the same word, the gom, that we use for meditation. That is literally translated as to familiarize. We could translate it as we've meditated so many times in past lives, become familiar so many times with these that this becomes a cause for the arisal of the afflictions. So habituation, familiarization, when previously. So this is number five. So Rinpoche said, he started saying, meditating on the afflictions, meditating on emptiness. Is this the same meditating on bodhicitta? Is this meditation or isn't it meditation? As far as number five, is it meditation or isn't it meditation? So Rinpoche raised that question because we use this same exact word for, you know, right next to bodhicitta or right next to emptiness. So is this actual meditation when we're, you know, familiarizing ourselves with these afflictions in previous lives?
Matapa, 유드 타니 뭐 차소는 영문 좀 그래서 주지 마이 이제서 어디 안도샤가 유 이동화로 이동화 이미 주세 몸 산다나 안 주지 마이 이제서 말면 영문 좀 오지로 어디 숨바도 어떤 라부도 왔다 일아 제바네 두모두기 참아 참아라 좀도 받아 두바 이동화 안도 차지 참아라 좀도 봐서 안에 마두바 ane madu bal ten samal jodo ba mata bala taban zeba su chumi ye dos chuji mai ye le nyomo jun chong ai so del del le de bo da
so number 6 is attention so in order for an affliction to arise there have to be 3 things present. First of all, the affliction has to have not already been abandoned. So if the affliction's been abandoned, then it's no way for it to arise. So there has to have not been a prior abandonment. Second, there has to be an object close which makes it conducive for the arisal. So this object has to be there. So for instance, they're an attractive object in order for the arisal of attachment to take place. So there has to be, in that case, an attractive object close in order for that to come about, like seeing it. You know, it has to be meaning close to you. Just as a note, it's not meaning like has to be right next to you, meaning like somewhere. It could be looking at a magazine or but it just has to be close. And then number 3 is that there has to be improper mental conduct that creates it. So you're thinking about the attractiveness of something and over again and all of these qualities, and then attachment arises. So improper mental conduct is necessary. So number 6 in the Lamrim Chemo says, attention refers to the incorrect attention, so this is improper mental conduct, that projects pleasantness onto what is unpleasant character, conceives an impermanent thing to be permanent, and the like. The 4 erroneous conceptions that mistakenly consider that are actually impermanent, painful, impure, and lacking a self to be permanent, pleasant, pure, and possessed of a self. I don't know if that's all in there.
Lota kundi tamal ni jamazwe. And then yin rukwa dumbu tsamal dundu basana. Ta yidunga lan do sachigrawa. Yidunga tunga zanjin do sachi chaba yomaro. Yidunga tungi swaji tujula yuero da. Yidunga de wonsil deba. Dunduba. Wonsil deba san tansuna. Dunduba yiro dunduba. Kuan do sach lucide nuru marbe. And the yidunga.
Sela tepi tsena? Sela tepi?
Wan tseli deba se, yidu wan tanya tu yoro ta. Tanya tu yoro. Ko tele, o yidu wan tele lab hai marba.
Selbudu.
Wan tene jitong du lo shishanu marba.
So, when we say that that attractive object gives rise to attachment, and that inattractive object gives rise to hatred or aversion, it doesn't mean that that automatically happens, because the Buddha is able to cognize that which is attractive, but this exaggeration doesn't take place related to its attractiveness. So therefore, this arisal doesn't happen because the Buddha doesn't have the afflictions. They've been abandoned. And if the Buddha cognizes something that's not attractive, it doesn't give rise to hatred, because this inflated, a kind of high, inflated, exaggerated idea about the object of observation isn't created. So there has to be this exaggeration that takes place with the cognition that's caused by still having afflictions and so forth. If that exaggeration doesn't take place, then it's just merely cognizing it as it is. That's the point there. So this attention is this thinking in a wrong way, improper mental conduct. So these are the six we've gone through. And we'll go through them again.
nyomo bala ni tenba shigiris, nyomo bacha tenba shigiris, nyomo bacha tenba cha suna, nyomo mubache unruta, nyomo mubache suna, ane lesa ane kuala kuya ge, jushe dhukwa shiruta.
Lesa, dene sumba?
Ta sumba de retunji nyomo macheba, sheba dans, sumba dene nyomo binyemi tilakasana, nyomo ji, nyomo ba, retunji nyomo macheba shebaas, retunji nyomo macheba jen docha, Dosha kubasha mubiyo ba yina, dosha retun tenin, dosha tsindil dosha ji, te shimal dosha ji, ane mubi ji unguri zita, ju me shiba.
Okay.
Kondru shechiba yina, kondru kiwa te, bacha unwa ki kondru mubi ji, nga jay to kanga dabu yinjir uta.
Lesa.
Retun nyomu, me shiba shiba awas, sumba dire mduwe.
Lesa.
Ta rangta jay nika la nyobas, nyomu kira la nyogri, Jel nogres, nyomu nyomu be jel nogres, ral nogres, nyobatans.
Yes,
sir.
Okay.
What the name of
Kanga. Okay.
Ral nogrota.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to look at now section number 4, and we've completed those 6 causes of the afflictions. So the faults of the afflictions, and this is broken up into 3 categories. First, the presentation of the affliction as a definite mistaken view. So if we look, we say that if it's an affliction, it's necessarily a mistaken view. Where do we find that? We find that here presented. And then the next is the establishing at affliction as something which is not presented in Scripture. So when we say, where do we categorize it? Is it virtue, non-virtue, or neutral, or that which hasn't neutral is that which hasn't been presented in Scripture, it's neutral. And then last is the faults of the afflictions. So it's broken into these categories. Is that affliction arises, at first it completely afflicts your mind, causing you to err with regard to what you're observing. So here it's showing this error, this mistaken consciousness. So an affliction is necessarily a mistaken consciousness, an erred consciousness, reinforcing your latent proclivities and causing the same sort of affliction to recur. It may harm you, others, or both, and it leads to misdeeds in this life, in future lives, or in both. There's a reinforcement of the imprints that takes place. So there's a when we engage in these deeds that become neutral, there is a reinforcement that takes place, and then many faults, Rinpoche said, that occur. And then there's a quote later on from Kshanti Deva's Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life that shows the specific faults and so forth. So Rinpoche just gave a small summary of that, and it looks like we're done with class. Triwa Dikson?
Okay.
What's that?
I'll shut up. What is the relationship between these imprints and karma?
The pakcha dang le jawa gare. Le pakcha ju.
Le singe takar sure.
Le nupa pakcha.
Lujile, ngakile, yijile, say, le, marwa. Ne, le, de le, ne, shirama yi zu yin sigres.
Aha.
Lu da ngakile tu zu yin logres. Lujile, ngakile zu yin sigres. Ngon shime zu du, tanju chans. Oma tanju wake zu yin logres. Lujile, ngakile tu zu yin s.
Vasa.
Dudu basu, pungi samba dus. Dudu basu, ane pungi samba ne nyomu pungi samba de le yin se lo res samba se ne cheba mar be dudu ba du su dudu ba da sa za ba do su ra bu men ro de pungi samba ane magi chu pungi samba magi chu pungi chu pungi le yin se samba de le yin se cheba ja no do no da samba se ne sa ben du su no ba cha ba da Sen me because what the Sabin Nibanichi Chanur is what the Sodongo, she means to do Tajujan, do the Bosu, Samba do
So an imprint is that which has not been presented in scripture, and when an action, when we look at the great exposition school's classification of action, it's identical to the middle way consequence school classification of action. It states that action of the body and the speech is necessarily form. Whereas the Satrantika school establishes action as consciousness. So the action, such as a virtuous action, which is an abandonment of the 10 non-virtuous actions, that action itself, that karma itself. So action and karma are the same word. One's Sanskrit, one's English. So that karma, that action itself, is consciousness. So it's form in some schools, it's consciousness in another. But the actual connection between action or karma and imprints is that when we engage in any karma through our body, speech, and mind, if it's virtuous action, it leaves a potential after the action has taken place, and that potential is the imprint. So the action's ability, what is left at this after the, I'm adding a couple of words to, as a translator's note, to make it clear. What happens after the action itself has stopped? What carries on from that? It's an ability that carries on, and that ability is the imprint. It's that potential. Sometimes they're translated as potential or latent predispositions, or many different ways to translate this imprint word. But it's just that action's ability after it's been engaged in to produce. So that's what the imprint itself is. A virtuous action ends, and then it has this ability to produce happiness. Non-virtuous action ends, now there's this ability to produce suffering. And that's in the seed that's planted is the imprint itself within our mental consciousness. And then the different schools say where this seed is in different ways, but it's this imprint of the action. And that imprint has an ability. That's what the carrying on, that's what the actions kind of, when you look at a continuum of something and its progression of disintegration and so forth, the action is completed, but what's left is this residue, and that residue is an imprint, which is an ability, a potential. So we'll do that. Okay. We'll do the concluding mandala offering and dedication prayers. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. I dedicate whatever virtues I have collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Lozan Drapa to shine forever. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious Guru. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri and likewise Samantabhadra as well. With whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times, I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. In that pure land surrounded by snowy mountains, you are the source of all benefit and happiness. All powerful Avalokiteshvara Tenzin Gyatso, stay until samsara's end. I pray for the long life of the precious Khensur Wandok, upholder of scriptural and realizational doctrines, spiritual friend who trained extensively in the five great philosophical texts with exceptional wisdom and perseverance.